the Lord will confirm some of the things that you have started to consider in your heart in the mighty name of Jesus, and that God will take glory unto himself. But quickly, before we get started, we're going to look at some PowerPoint slides. Still in line with the things that we were talking about. All right, so I called it a vision for the future. Next slide, please. And these are just quotes from people talking about vision and things like that. In 1949, popular mechanics forecasting the relentless march of science said, computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons. Many of us may not know what that means. 1 ton is 1,000 kilograms. 1,000 kilograms is 2,200 pounds. So they were projecting that by now, computers will weigh at least 2,200 pounds. They were wrong. Next slide, please. Talking about vision. What is your vision? Your vision for the future. Thomas Watson, the then chairman of IBM in 1943, said, I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers. His vision was very, very limited. He couldn't see far. So whatever you are seeing today and you are making conclusions, maybe you might want to think again. In 1943 is not a long time ago. We are not talking about the 1600s. In 1943, he thought that there was only a market for 5 computers in the world. Next slide, please. In 1977, this is very close home. 1977, Ken Olsen, president, chairman, and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, said, there is no reason anyone will want a computer in their home. How many people do not have a computer in their home? You don't have. Okay, grandma, we can understand. at 74, 82, if you don't, we will understand. Next slide, please. It's talking about vision. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? A Western Union internal memo, 1876, said this telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. That was Western Union in 1876. Friends, if you are seeing the past, I pray that God will change your vision today. And if you are only seeing the present, I pray that God will change your vision today. Last week, I told you that you don't plan looking from where you are to where you are going. You plan from where you are going to where you are. Praise the Lord. So you plan from the future to the present and take your plan based on the future. You go forward. You don't say, oh, this is all I can do now, so this is all I'm going to do. You are not going to go. That person, not you, that person will not go very far in life. Next slide, please. This is David Sarnoff, his associate, in response to his urgence for investment in radio in 1920. Listen to what he said. He said, the wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who will pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? Because when you advertise on radio, you are not saying, oh, please, grandma, this is what I'm selling. Come and buy it. No. You are just throwing it out there. He said it is of no imaginable value, the radio. Next slide, please. Lord Kelvin, President, Royal Society, 1895. He said heavier than air flying machines are impossible. It means he's talking about aeroplanes. This is when the Wright brothers were struggling to make the plane take off from the ground. Today, we can't do without it. Who here has never flown in an aircraft before? Nobody. That's what I thought. If we say great grandma, it will be okay. Next slide, please. Listen, this is Spencer Silver, and I want you to pay close attention to this. Pay close attention to this. This is the guy that developed the adhesive for the 3M and the post-it that we all use today. He said, if I had thought about it, I wouldn't have done the experiment. The literature was full of examples that said you can't do this. Listen, in science, when you want to do research, the first thing you do is you do what they call a literature search. A literature search is you are looking for what others have said about the experiment you're trying to do. You know, and if they have tried something, they said, oh, this is impossible, don't do it. Then you don't start from that premise. You start from the premise of what is doable. So he said, if he had thought about what the literature had said, he wouldn't have ventured. Listen to me. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Praise the Lord. Next slide. Okay, that's it. Amen. So today we continue on the topic of vision. What are you seeing? Praise the Lord. What are you seeing? You will see in all of these things, these guys could not see what was going on. They could not see what the possibilities were. All they were able to see were the impossibilities. May God begin to open your eyes to see possibilities in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pitched our tent on this verse of scripture last week, and that's where we're going to take off from today. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18. The Bible says in the American Standard Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Last week we talked about three things. There were three words that I talked on, and I'm just going to quickly do a recap, and then we continue with the topic for today. Thank you, sir. Number one, we talked about talent, and I said talent, your talent is your natural ability or your natural aptitudes, things that come naturally to you. You know, you can easily do them. It's no stress for you. In fact, some people don't need much training in the areas where they're gifted. They just know how to do it. And we said something that your talent is not necessarily your purpose. Your talent will enhance your purpose, but your talent is not necessarily your purpose. And we gave a number of examples of this. We talked about Joseph. I told you if it was today that somebody could dream and interpret accurately like that, they would have started a dream and interpretation ministry. But Joseph did not. But his talent, his gift, the gift that God has given him, was what got him into the palace. So your natural abilities and aptitudes can help you fulfill your purpose in life. But it is not necessarily your purpose in life. So we saw Joseph. If you think about Daniel also was a dreamer and an interpreter of dream. David was a worshiper. He played the harp very well, but God had a greater purpose. And then we talked about purpose. So number one, talent. Number two, purpose. Purpose is the reason why anything exists. That's the purpose of it. The reason is that it exists. So the reason you exist, the reason you are alive, the reason you are here is the purpose. Your purpose is the big idea of your life. Not the little ideas, the big idea. You see, I didn't mention this last week, but it suffices to say now, your purpose in life is what distinguishes your work from your job. I'll say that again. Your purpose in life distinguishes your work from your job. Your job is what you do for sustenance. Your work is the reason why you're here. So my question this morning is, do you know what your work is? Or are you just doing a job? Number three, we talked about vision. We said vision is the ability to see things before they exist. So what you have envisioned in your heart, what you are able to envisage in your heart, it is not sin, it is not natural. We gave the example of Alexander Graham Bell, the guy that in his head he was thinking it might be possible to convert sound waves into electronic waves, and then it comes out on the other end of the wire as sound. Everybody thought it was absolutely crazy. So you mean I will speak into a wire and they will hear my voice on the other side? We don't know what you have been smoking. But today, we have them in different forms, shapes, and fashion. We have the flip phone. If you have that, you are ancient. You know, you have different form of phones now. Praise the Lord. So today, and I told us last week that we're going to answer three remaining questions. How do I know my purpose? Why do I need a vision? And what do I do with my vision? In starting today, I would like to let us know that it is absolutely critical for you and I that will live by purpose. A life that is without purpose is a life that will end up anywhere. Listen to this. There was one night, I just didn't know what to do with my family. You know, Sunday evenings, I just like to spend time with the family. You know, so I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to travel 1604 loop. We didn't have anywhere in mind to go. We just got on 1604, and we said, if it is a loop, then if we drive, if we keep going straight, then we should come back to where we started from. Well, we did, after about 2.5 hours. By the time, in fact, it was a great punishment for me that day. Everybody was sleeping by the time we came back. Praise the Lord. See, we did not arrive anywhere. Why? Because the journey was, we didn't have any destination in mind. We just said, you slept. Everybody slept. 2.5 hours, everybody slept. You know, initially we were having fun. You know, we were singing. I hear somebody calling. I can hear him, my name. Yeah, who's calling? I can hear it again. You know, we're having fun. After like 1 hour, one by one, everybody fell asleep. What I'm saying is a life that is lived without purpose is a life that will ultimately end in frustration. Ultimately. Because it's on a journey leading nowhere. Purpose is very important. The Bible says, and this is a critical thing about purpose. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Stop. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose. It means the purpose of God for your life is not waiting for an eternity to happen. Actually, the word translated time there, the equivalent of it in Greek is the word kairos. And kairos means a specific time, a specific moment in time when things compounds, when things happen, when the lines begin to fall in goodly places and your heritage, everything begins to come together. So it says for your purpose, there is a specific time for it. May you not miss your time in destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, there is a time. There is a time. There is somebody that missed his time. In Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 46 verse 17. The Bible says, they did cry there. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. He has passed the time appointed. When a person has passed that time in destiny, they are just shouting and making noise all over the place. Have you seen when athletes that have, I mean, they had a good lifetime of competition and then they wear out, but they still want to fight. Even the dog will come and beat him dead. Everybody, that, why? Because his time has passed. His time has passed. You will enter into your destiny in the right time. You will not miss your time in destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. You see, what we don't understand, many of us believers, is this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9, this is the word of the Lord. Is somebody hearing me this morning? This is the word of the Lord. This is not a good idea. Is somebody understanding me? I'm not telling you a good idea this morning. I'm telling you what God says about you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Somebody say amen. That is talking about me. It's really talking about me. See, what you don't know is that the whole world is waiting for you to manifest. The whole world is waiting for you to discover your purpose, begin to walk in your purpose, begin to live by purpose, and then they can really, really benefit from your life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, the Bible says, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for you to show them what you got. Most of the people you are afraid of, believe me, they are more afraid of you than you are afraid of them. Trust me. There is something in you, Melanie, that the world is waiting. They just want it to shine. They want it to show forth. They are begging for it. They are asking for it. They don't know who to ask. They don't know where to turn to because you have not manifested yet. But my prayer is that from today, in the mighty name of Jesus, you will begin to manifest. I will begin to manifest in the mighty name of Jesus. San Antonio will know you. Texas will know you. America will know you in the mighty name of Jesus. There is something in you. The Bible says the whole creation is in earnest expectation. They are expecting. They are hoping. They are waiting. They are desiring. I'm jumping ahead of myself, but that's okay. Steve Jobs and his partner, way back when, they saw a vision for personal computers. They went to meet IBM. You remember IBM? They went to meet IBM. IBM said, no, that's impossible. When they thought the only market in the world for personal computers was just fire. So you figure, they didn't agree with him. They went to meet HP. HP said it's impossible. But they kept pushing. Why? Because there was something in them that was telling them, I need to show forth some of this thing. I have an idea. I have a creation. I have an invention that must be seen. They went ahead. They sourced the money elsewhere, and they were able to produce it. Today, iPhone, i5, i-this, i-everything. I have a MacBook, iPad, i-tablet, i-everything. iSound, iTunes, everything. Why? Because somebody had a vision. Somebody had a purpose. And he said, this purpose will not die with me. Friends, your purpose will not die with you. You will not take that vision to the grave. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will manifest. Look at your neighbor, say you will manifest. You will manifest. What I want you to know this morning is that you were specifically wired for your purpose. You are not a mistake. You feel the way you feel for a reason. You have the inclinations you have for a reason. Why? Because you were wired for your purpose. Listen to this. Psalm 33, verse 15. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Psalm 33, verse 15. It says, he fashions their heart individually. Listen, you didn't hear that. It said, God fashions their heart individually. What that means is that you are not off of an assembly line. It means, Mrs. Abusayo, when God was creating you, he created you specifically. It was not a general prototype. It didn't have a mold that he was fashioning everybody from the same mold. You know, so they just, no. He saw you. He saw a need in the future world before you get there. He saw the need and he wired inside of you the ability to meet those needs. It says, individually, he fashioned their heart. There's a reason why I think differently from you. In fact, just a quick look. They know you are different from me. I'm different from you. Number one, you are a woman. I'm a man. I'm not confused about that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he fashioned their heart individually. There are certain things that only you can do better than everybody else. There are certain things that if I try to copy you, I will fail, definitely. And if I don't fail, they will say, he's a copycat. He's just trying to be like Brother Moses. Say, Brother Moses does it better. He does okay, but just wait until you hear Brother Moses do it. Why? Because God has fashioned our hearts individually. We are wired uniquely, specifically, for our unique purposes. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Friends, I am not an assembly line product. God made me uniquely in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Psalm 139, it said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You notice it didn't say we are. It didn't say we are. Because he realized something about himself that was unique and different from everybody else. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And some of us are more wonderfully, you know, than fearfully. And some are more fearfully than wonderfully. But however it goes, yeah. Everything God created, I want you to know, he created with a purpose in mind. When he created Adam, his purpose, he gave to him very clearly. Genesis 2:15, he said to Adam, dress and keep the garden. Abraham, he told Abraham, Genesis 17:4. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. That was what God said to him. That's why it's important for you to understand your purpose and know your purpose. Father Abraham, he knew the purpose of God for his life. Even though he was distracted a little bit, he came back to it. And how do I know he understood purpose? At 99, he was still getting his groove on with his wife. You know why? Because he understood that if he's going to be the father of many nations and Ishmael is not the guy, then he still has to perform with Mother Sarah. Sarah at 89, all broken and wrinkled and everything, they were still smiling and saying, you know, they were still tickling. They were still getting their groove. Why? He understood his purpose. And he said, age is not going to be a deterrent for me. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep pushing. I'm going to keep working on it until I arrive at the destination. He knew the purpose of God for his life. Friends, if you don't understand purpose, you will settle for less. You will settle for less. Last week, we concluded by saying there is more beyond. You remember that? The Straits of Gibraltar. There is more beyond. There is more beyond. You will never settle for less if you know what your purpose is. Many people don't know their purpose is the reason they settle for less. Joseph, I told you last week that Joseph, his purpose was to preserve posterity. Genesis 45 verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. And so many people like that. Moses was to be a deliverer. Samson was to be a deliverer from the Philistines. He was to begin the delivering process. Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, he said, before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I already knew thee and I ordained you to be a prophet. There is something God has ordained you to become, and you will become that in Jesus' name. I say you will become exactly that in Jesus' name. You know one of the reasons God had to destroy the world with the flood? You know why? One of the reasons he had to destroy the world with the flood was because he saw the human beings he created. The human beings he created were supposed to have his nature. Remember, the Bible says he created them in his own image and likeness. He saw that, okay, they looked like him, but their nature was different from his. He said, this is a monster. I must destroy it. What do you do with an equipment that assists to perform his duty? You discard it, you trash it. May God not trash you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Any equipment that is not working, you don't want it to gather dust in your house. Some people do that. What's the name for them? There's a show they do on TV of people like that. Aha. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist and so on and so forth. So the number one question for today is, how do I know my purpose? How do I know my purpose? Very simple. The inventor of an invention knows exactly what he had in mind when he was creating that invention. The one that made you, the one that made me, he has all the answers to our lives. He knows exactly why he released me to come. You know, my mom had been telling me for a very long time that I think it was around 1978, I don't know how many years ago, that some preacher or prophet told her that I was going to be a pastor. I said, maybe they meant one of your sons. Because I had absolutely no mind, intention, or pastoring was just not it. For one, I'm shy. I'm going to stand before people and they'll be beaming their eyes. And some eyes are very hot. They are like laser beams. They'll be beaming through your head. You know, and you have to, no, that's not for me. No, that's not for me. You know, and there are some people, the posture alone is like, you better be quiet there. No, I don't want that. I don't want that. You know, and I told her, I said, no, it's not me. But she kept telling me, it's you. I said, no, it's not me. She said, it's you. It's not me. It's you. It's not me. It's you. It's not me. God is right. How about that? So the one that made you knows exactly why he made you. And if you are not able to hear God, but at least you have the manufacturer's manual. You can check the scriptures. As you read, one day the Lord will speak to you in the mighty name of Jesus. So you need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time in the study of the word. And you need to wait on the Lord in fasting too. Friends, the only guarantee, the one thing that will for sure, put an end to frustration and depression in your life is discovering purpose. Guaranteed. No medicine is, it works better than any medicine. Because when you know your purpose, you're excited about life. You wake up each day feeling good about yourself. Why? Because you know exactly why you're here. Many people do not understand why they are here. That is why they are frustrated. I told you before, men and rivers become crooked in life. They become twisted when they follow the path of least resistance. You can never see a natural flowing river that is flowing straight. It's impossible. It's always winding and twisting. Why? Because water is looking for the path of least resistance. If you are going through life looking for where it is easiest, you will always be twisting, changing your mind. You go this way, you go that way, then you change your mind, then you change your mind. You just be all over the place until somebody will ask you, what exactly is your problem? Yesterday you wanted to be a carpenter. Today you are an electrician. Tomorrow you are an engineer. The day after you are a doctor. What exactly is your problem? Where are you going with life? Why? You are looking for what is easy. For you to enter into your purpose is not going to be exactly easy. So the fact that you have a challenge, the fact that the road is rough, does not mean it's not the will of God for your life. You don't judge your life based on ease and difficulty. Taking the promised land was not an easy path. They fought wars, even though God gave them the land. Praise the Lord. Number two, so number one is check with the manufacturer, check the manufacturer's manual. Number two, check the needs around you. Can I say something to you this morning or this afternoon? Please, if you are writing, write this. Don't run away from problems. Be the first to help. Do not run away from problems. Be the first to help. Do you know the great inventions in this life has been based on need and not just creativity? When God presents a situation before you where you can help, don't complain. Fix the problem. Because for the most part, you see, the things that you see, the problems that you see, are usually problems that you have answers for. For example, somebody that does not have a mind of detail can see chairs, they are not straight, they are not properly aligned. It won't bother them because they don't have, it just doesn't, if you see it, it's because you have a heart and a mind for detail. You'll be like, oh, why, this is out of, just fix it. Fix it. Be the first to help. When you run away from problems, you are probably running away from an opportunity for you to shine. Need. The need that you see, sometimes you are able to see them because God has wired you to solve those problems, to meet those needs. Praise the Lord. How many of us, sincerely, okay, don't answer, just answer in your heart. When you see homeless people, some people will think, what's wrong with these crazy people? Go get a job. You know why? God has not placed in your heart to meet the need that those kind of people have. If there is a, God has put that purpose in your heart to meet that need, when you see them, what you are thinking is, how can I help these people? So the needs that you are able to see sometimes are indication of your purpose in life. Be a problem solver. Amen? Be a problem solver. Do you know, I told you about Steve Jobs and his partner, Bill Gates, the same thing. They saw a need that everybody should, there's a need for people to have personal computers. IBM didn't see it. In fact, those that don't have personal computers today are praying for God to give them money to buy one. If anything, maybe they don't want a huge one. Say, Lord, just give me an iPad. Lord, give me a Samsung. Lord, give me a something. But everybody has suddenly realized that there's a need for these things. So the things that are burning in your heart sometimes, it might seem like you are seeing problems. The reason you are seeing problems is because you have solutions, but you have not thought about it. Everything, they post it. The guy that did the post it. You saw people writing notes and losing notes and throwing things around. He said, okay, what if we make one with a sticky? So I can just post a note for somebody. Everything you see as a need, it might be because God has put the solution in your heart. And that solution is wired into you because that is one of probably your purpose in life. The Wright brothers would just not rest until the aeroplane took off. They tried and tried and tried and tried and tried. Thomas Edison said, it is bad for us not to have electricity. This thing is possible. He worked on it, worked on it, worked on it. The 200th time that he failed, they told him it's not possible. He said, no, I have just discovered 200 ways by which it cannot be done. Purpose. When you understand your purpose, you are unstoppable. The reason they can change your mind is because you don't know what you're doing in the first place. That's the reason. Somebody can convince you to change from this to that or move from that to that and move from, you're just moving all. It's because you don't understand purpose yet. Your purpose, you may discover your purpose by the needs that you see. It might be one of the areas that God is leading you. In the Bible, Daniel, that was the problem. Daniel chapter 2. You know the story very well. So I'm not going to dwell on it too much. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel, the king, dreamt and forgot his own dream. And said, I need somebody to remind me of my dream and give me the interpretation to my dream. Praise the Lord. And the king was going to kill all the wise men if they don't come up with a solution. Guess what? In scripture, we have never been told that Daniel, Sister Bomi, he never dreamt nor interpreted the dream before. But when the king said he was going to kill everybody, something in him told him that, I got this. I got this. He's never interpreted a dream. Worse still, the king doesn't even remember the dream. But something, there was a witness in him that I have an answer to this problem. He did not have the answer, but he thought, I might have an answer to this problem. He said, go tell the king not to be hasty. Tell the king to give us some time, and we will get back to him. And he went, took his friends, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went to pray, and they fasted. And God told them the dream and the interpretation of the dream. Guess what? It became promotion for Daniel. That's why I said, don't run away from problem. Be a problem solver. Don't be a troublemaker. Be a problem solver. Because he solved the problem, guess what? He became a president in the land. And after he was promoted, guess what? He said, well, O king, there's something I got to tell you. This deal, I didn't pull it off by myself. There's three guys that we prayed together. He said, we'll promote them too. So the question I have for you this morning is, you and your friends, what do you do? This guy was praying and fasting with his friends. Praise the Lord. You and your friends, do you talk about other people? and gossip about other people, or you pray together and you fast together. All of a sudden, they had a solution to a problem that has never existed before. They could not consult with anyone because it has never happened before that a person would dream, forget his dream, and say, tell me my dream that I forget or that I've forgotten, and then tell me the interpretation of it. And they went to God in prayer. Don't, when you see a need, if it resonates in your spirit, rise up. Rise up. I so much believe that the reason you are able to see it is because God has put a solution inside of you. That is for real. For real. Need begets creativity. Needs, if you see need, it is an opportunity for you to get creative to meet that need. Friends, there is an appointed time for your purpose. God wants to show you off. He wants to show me off. 1 Corinthians 2:9. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. The world is waiting for us to shine. I pray that we will rise up and shine indeed. I pray we will rise up and shine indeed. In the name of Jesus. So, how do I know my purpose? Number one, ask God. Number two, be a problem solver. Needs around you, meet needs. Number three, what are your proclivities? What are your inclinations? What are your tendencies? What things do you tend towards? What things appeals to you? It might be an indication towards your purpose in life. It just might be an indication towards your purpose in life. There's a lady in our church in Nigeria. This lady was a medical doctor. I'm sure she's still probably not practicing anymore because she must be much older now. Medical doctor, had a very successful practice. In fact, at that time, I think she had 2 or 3 annexes. Very successful practice. But guess what? She made more money from flower arrangements than from her medical practice. That was her natural inclination. If she puts a flower arrangement together for you like this, it's 50,000 naira, and people will pay for it. I think for my wedding, she gave us a bouquet of flowers or something like that, and they told me the price. I'm like, there's no way I could have paid for it. But because she was working and living in her purpose, God created market for her. God created opportunities for her. Why? Because she was in the center of the will and purpose of God for her life. It was a natural thing. You see, many people are what I call copycats. So because it is working for A. Said the new way to make money is this way. Go and try it. In fact, you can do better flower arrangements than her, but because it is not where, there's no grace in it for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I'm out of time. Why do I need a vision? You need vision for focus. Amen? You need vision to be able to focus in life. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. You know, because you have a vision, it guides your life. It orders your step. It points you in the right way to go. When you want to do something that is out of bounds, out of step, it tells you, no, that is not what we are, that's not the vision. That's not the vision. That's not the vision. There are times people have come to me to tell me, Pastor, how about we do this? I said, that is not the vision. That's not the that's not why we are here. We are here for so many things, but that is not one of it. So the fact that you brought up an idea or a suggestion and it's not taking, it's not because it's a bad idea, but because we have a vision. There's something we are trying to accomplish. There's something we're trying to do. Vision gives focus and order to your life. It helps you not bounce from here to there and just bouncing around. Praise the Lord. Number two, reason why you need vision. Vision helps you to dispel frustration and depression. Listen, there's two examples I want to give you here. Number one is King Saul. King Saul absolutely lost sight of the vision of God for his life. The moment he heard that David had been anointed king, instead of him ruling and doing the business of king, he was running after David. Can you imagine? President Obama leaves the business of running day-to-day running. Say there's a pastor in San Antonio, he's a threat to me. God forbid bad thing. Mr. President, go and do your job. Let me do my work here. Praise the Lord. He left off everything and was with all the resources of the nation. He was chasing after David. No wonder his life was wasted in battle. Why? Because serious depression came on him. He has lost sight of the vision. He was frustrated. Another person is, what's his name? King Jeroboam. Jeroboam is somebody I want you to go study on your own. Jeroboam, in 1 Kings chapter 11, in 1 Kings chapter 11, God said they should anoint Jeroboam to be a king. There was a prophecy, a word of prophecy, that he was going to be a king in Israel. Jeroboam was confused. God has promised the throne to David, that David and his son will reign. How can God make this promise to me? God said, don't worry. In fact, I'm going to give you 10 tribes of Israel, and I'm going to give two, because I promised David that his seed will always be on the throne. I will give them two so I can keep my word, but I'm going to give you 10 out of 12. You read 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38 and 39, the prophecy was given to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 12, he actually becomes the king. But guess what? Now that he has become the king, he's now securing himself. He's guarding himself. He's putting protections around himself. All those things, they lead to frustration. Why? In the first place, it was not his idea to become king. Praise the Lord. God chose him to become king. You know what he did? Exactly the sin of Israel in Exodus. The Bible says he made two calves and told the people, he said, behold your God that delivered you from Egypt. Worship the God. Why? He was afraid that if the people went to Jerusalem to worship, that they would change their mind and follow Rehoboam. Friends, when you understand your purpose in life, when you understand the assignment of God for your life, you won't be running up and down. The reason people are running around looking for what is not lost is because they don't understand, they lack vision, lack purpose. When you understand the purpose of God for your life, you are fully rested where you are. You are comfortable where you are. You are satisfied where you are. You are fully rested. Why? Because you know this is what God has called me to do. This is where God has called me to be. And I am comfortable being here. Jeroboam was afraid. And because of that, go and study the kings of Israel. When they talk about king of Israel, they're talking about the northern kingdom. There was not one king in the northern kingdom that pleased God. You know why? Their foundation was wrong. The first king in northern Israel was an evildoer. Everybody else followed in his steps. See, and he sinned against the Lord according to his father Jeroboam. Brought so much evil in the land. Friends, you must understand what the vision of God is for your life, so that you are not running after shadows and chasing shadows. You can be fully rested in what God has given to you and where God has called you to be. Praise the Lord. The reason you need vision for your joy to be full. What do I do with my vision? Oh boy. Whew. Please pardon me. Give me 10 minutes and I'll wrap this up and we'll close. Why do I need vision? What do I do with my vision? We talked about why. What do I do with my vision? The number one thing you must do with your vision is you must write down your vision. Praise the Lord. This is the part you need to begin to write. Write down the vision. Many people will trust the brain. The brain is, in fact, the brain, if it's fully developed, is better than the fastest computers. It can function and do things better, but most of us use about 1% or less of our brain capacity. It's common to everybody. It's not you in particular. Amen. That includes myself. Praise the Lord. Write things down. cultivate the habit of writing. They give you a word of prophecy. Write it down. You know, just recently, I was reading a prophecy that was given to me. I was reading it when I went to Peru last year. That was what I did. Because my experience now is what was prophesied then. What was prophesied then is what is happening in my life now. Guess what? If I just had it and I said, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, there will be no reference point today. The number one thing you do is write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. Say, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may read, that he may run that reads it. In the Redeemed Christian Church of God, our vision is plain, is clear. You go to our website, you see it there. 5 points to make heaven, to take as many people with us to heaven, praise the Lord, and to plant churches, to live a lifestyle of holiness. What's the fifth one now? What am I missing? Yeah, I said that. Number one, to make heaven. Number two, take as many people as possible with us. Number three, to have a member in all the in every family in all the nations of the world. Praise the Lord. A lifestyle of holiness and plant churches everywhere. It's very simple. And for us in Salvation Center, we are 100% in agreement with that vision. And the way we are accomplishing those 5 points in our vision is to maximize our potentials and fulfill destiny in life. Praise the Lord. Write the vision. Make it plain so that all that read it may run with it. What do I do with my vision? When I write it down, it reminds me of my goal on a daily basis. Number three, listen to this. People that want to help you, if you have nothing written, there's nothing for them to go by. So you have a business idea. It's just boiling in your head. Everybody you see, say, you know, I have this proposition. They just look at you. They laugh. Oh, okay, praise God. That sounds like a good plan. They don't help people like that. You say, this is my business plan. This is what I have written. You present that. When they look at that, guess what? They have something to work with. You'll be surprised. Somebody calls you up in the middle of the night and say, wow, I couldn't sleep. I was reading your business proposal. Comes to me in the office tomorrow. How much do we need to start this? What do we need to get started? And before you know it, you have taken off. The Lord will surprise you in Jesus' name. Listen to this. What do I need to do with my vision? One of the things that vision will do to you is vision will cause you to transition. Somebody say transition. Vision will cause you to transition. Why? What do I mean by this? For your vision to become a reality, you must make a transition from the past to the future. That's a long haul. You must make a transition from the past to the future. Praise the Lord. You know, when you... The very good example of this is the IT field. And I'm sure Otis can bear me witness here. In the IT field, if you settle with what you have learned 5 years ago, guess what? Nobody's going to hire you today. Am I lying? You can't get a job. Even on your job, if you don't have current certification, Sister Wumi, if you don't have current certification, I say, well, thank you very much. We know you're a hard worker, but you don't fit anymore. You need to make a transition from the past to the future. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to this. Stop there. You see, the word transformed there is a Greek word, metamorphor. That's where you get metamorphosis from. It means to metamorphosis, it means to change form. There's a slide of the tadpole and the frog. You have that, you see that? Look at the tadpole. Is there anything like the frog? You see the adult frog? You see the tadpole? When you make a transition, when you are transformed, guess what? You lose stuff. Pay attention. Please get this. This is the point I want to make with that. You lose some things. There's a loss that comes with transitioning and metamorphosis. When you look at that diagram, when it becomes the full frog, guess what? It lost the tail. The blob of a head turns into a full body. There's arms, there's legs, there's head, there's eyes, there's everything, there's nose. It's a complete little creature. The problem with a lot of people, for you to realize your dream and vision in life, there are certain changes you must make. If you are not willing to change, it's unfortunate you may not get to that place. Remember the story of Joseph. When Joseph was going to enter into the reality of the purpose of God for his life, he lost his coat of many colors. He lost his father's love. He lost his father's pampering. The protection that the dad had for him, he lost it. Why? Because he's on his way to a greater place. If you are going to make the trip to the greater place, to the place in destiny, you will lose certain things. You will lose some friends. If you are going to, the Bible says, if you are going to walk this walk, you are going to live a righteous life, you must be ready for persecution. But you want to be righteous and you still want to be everybody's friend. It's not going to work. Some people will oppose you just because of that. Praise the Lord. I want us to please rise to our feet. God will take you to your great place. I say, God will take you to your great place. David, for David to get to the throne, he became a fugitive. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, listen to this. In conclusion, and we're going to pray now. In conclusion, I want you to know that the greatest vision you need for your life is the vision of God glorified in everything you do. Number two, the greatest purpose you need in life is to give him pleasure. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Listen to me. God created you good. God created you great. God created me good. God created me great. Don't settle for less. The greatest purpose in life is to pleasure God. Please bow your heads, close your eyes, lift up both hands to heaven, and just worship the Lord. Friends, too many people are chasing shadows. This world as we know it will come to an end one day. It does not matter the success. Steve Jobs was a very successful man in his life. Today he's dead. He's a dead man. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, it said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Is your life giving God pleasure? Is your life honoring God? Is your life glorifying God? The greatest vision you must have is God glorified in all that you do. The greatest purpose you must have in life is God getting pleasure from your life. Lift up both hands and just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. I'm going to pray for about two or three categories of people. While you talk to the Lord, number one, you're here today, friends. You can be everything and anything in life. A life that is not given to Christ is a life that is set for crisis already. Or maybe you have given your life to Christ, but you are living in sin. You are living contrary to him. You are denying him by the way you live your life. You need to repent. You need to rededicate your life. And I want you to come forward. I want to pray with you. The other category I want to pray with, you say, Pastor, this thing about purpose, I've been thinking about it a long time, and I'm just confused. I really don't know what to do with my life anymore. I want you to come forward. I want to pray with you as well. Say, I want to understand where this journey is leading, where this journey is going. And sometimes I feel happy. Sometimes I feel sad. Sometimes it's working. Sometimes it's not working. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do. If you are in that category, I want you to come forward. Do you know the vision of God for your life? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're doing? What is up with you? What is up with me? Do you understand? Or you are just marounding and just going about, just scattered? God can turn it around. And God will turn it around in the mighty name of Jesus. What this prayer is going to do for you is God will begin to speak to you in ways that you will understand. All of a sudden, your eyes of understanding will pop open. With the eye of your spirit, will begin to know and understand what God is saying to you in the mighty name of Jesus. But friends, understand this. You cannot mix purpose with sin. If you mix it with sin, it is useless. Hallelujah. Totally useless. Whether poor or rich, it is better not to go to hell. But if we mix sin with all of these things, then it's just like a rich sinner going to hell. Lift up both hands to God. I'm just going to make contact with you. I've prayed for you already. So don't say, oh, this prayer is too short. I've already prayed for you. And God will do something to you today. Something will happen in your life today in the name of Jesus. Just talk to the Lord. Lift up both hands and talk to the Lord. Say, Father, touch me, O God. Touch me, O God. Touch me, O God. Renew my sight. Renew my vision. The eye of my spirit. In the name of Jesus. Remember, the scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man. What God wants to do in your life. Say, the whole of creation is waiting for your manifestation. Is waiting for your manifestation. Je calibra custo predia radada. Jen rodobo jacatanderia radada. Je corodobo shakatanderia radada. Meco sotom radia bacusto predia. Jen radabo jacata leca radabo jegede. Hey! Bocusto predia radabo. Gendalia. Masto predia. Je custa ia radada. Meco rodobo sheketelia. Fresh anointing, O God. In the name of Jesus. Mecusto predia. Je custa ia radabo jegede. Oh, redabo socoto. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for clarity. I pray for clarity, 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 clarity of purpose, clarity on purpose, clarity, clarity, O God. Mekusta ia radabo shakata in the name of Jesus. Fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh anointing, fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. I bind and I cast out the spirit of confusion. The spirit of confusion, I break your hold. I break your hold. I break your hold. I destroy your hold in the name of Jesus. Le costum redia radabo jakata. Meka tu predia. Eka radabo jende ia bakusto ke. Eka rado jegede makusta ia radada. In the name of Jesus, the God of purpose, make clear, O God. Make clear, O God. Make known, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus. Leko su predia radabo shakata. Meko sotom predia radada. In the mighty name of Jesus. Leko sopradi bakanderia. I bind and I cast out confusion. In the name of Jesus. Leko sonteria. Walk in the purpose of God. Even for your life. Enter into your great place. In the name of Jesus. To pleasure God. To pleasure God. To honor God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Leko sopradia radada. Enough of up and down. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will establish you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lepronda ia radabo jakata ye korodobo jekete. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. You are worthy. Mandaria bakusto pre ye karibakuso topredia. In the name of Jesus. Lekora bredi brado jagada. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ye korom bredia radabo jekete. In the name of Jesus, Almighty God, a fresh infilling of the power of your spirit. For clarity, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Jehovah. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lift up both hands to heaven and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, fill my mouth with words from you in the name of Jesus. Fill my soul. Fill my being with your spirit without measure in the name of Jesus. Pray to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. That the Lord will fill you with the spirit without measure, without measure, without measure, to propel you to your great place in life in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Glory, hallelujah. We bless your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless your name forever. We honor you. We adore you. We bless your name. Be thou exalted forever in the name of Jesus. Lord, I have delivered your word as you have laid it in my heart. Lord, you never say a thing except you want to do something about it. Lord, because you have told us about vision, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will begin to clear our vision. Lord, you begin to clear our vision. Lord, that you will take care of every spiritual glaucoma in the mighty name of Jesus. Every spiritual cataract, Lord, you will remove in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, will begin to see clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus said, what I see the Father do, that I do. Lord, we may begin to see what you are doing and begin to do what you do in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, O Lord. We return all the glory and honor to you for today's service. We say, Lord, thank you. Take all glory, take all honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Surely, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.